Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So now Maitreya Muni has just cursed Duryodhana because he doesn't behave properly and all that kind of jazz. And he doesn't pay attention. You know, he's just being Duryodhana. Right? And so then that aspect then we have to appreciate that he's just being himself, you know. His idea is that, well, Creator made me like this, I'm just being that, what's my fault? But the point is he's like that because that's his desire, his nature. And whatever you do, however you've been created, however you use it, it defines then yourself. Like Garudagach, he's a born a Rakshasa. And you know, he lives, you know, with the Rakshasas and everything like that and does Rakshasa stuff. But you see how he behaves in the battle and how he's respectful to his elders and everything like that, you know, and you know, supports his friends and everything. He goes down as a great hero in the battle. Well, Duryodhana is never a hero. So then Dhritarashtra, he's worried about this, that he's being merciful. So then Maitreya said, if Duryodhana made peace with the Pandavas, the curse would be lifted. Otherwise, it will not be reversed. So Dhritarashtra felt a little relieved. Having managed to mitigate Maitreya's curse, he thinks he mitigated, but the point is if he makes peace with the Pandavas, that's ever possible? No. So therefore, how did he mitigate it? It means there's an option for it, but it'll never happen. He then said, O Rishi, we have heard how Bhima destroyed Hidimba and Baka, but not Kirmira. Who was this demon? What was his strength and how was he killed? We wish to know everything. Maitreya replied, I will not speak any further to this assembly because Duryodhana has rejected my words. Vidura knows well the history of Kirmira. With that, the sage rose and went out of the assembly, quickly leaving the city. Right? Because it's considered, in Manu it mentions that you don't go to a place where you've been insulted. So since he's been insulted in the assembly here, then technically it's not appropriate to stay. Because what if they insult him again? You know? So the whole point is that, you know, they tell this and tell, oh, you're just saying that, you know, about Bhima and this and that. But so he says, Vidura knows. When the offended sage was gone, Dhritarashtra asked Vidura to relate the story. Vidura replied, O king, I heard this story from Yudhishthira when I spoke to him in the forest. Having left Hastinapur, the Pandavas traveled for 3 days and nights, finally arriving at the Kaumbhika forest. As they moved through this forest during the fearful hours of the night, they encountered a terrible Rakshasa with flaming eyes. He stood as tall as a tree and held a blazing torch. With arms and legs outstretched like the branches of a huge tree, he blocked the Pandavas' path. He had 8 fangs protruding from his wide open mouth, and his eyes were the color of copper. His flaming red hair stood erect, right? They always have that kind of shock of hair, the hair standing up. And he resembled a mass of clouds charged with lightning and adored by a flock of cranes. So there was always that dark color. Then there was the various elements of, you know, the brightness and everything else like that. Roaring like thunder, he spread the Rakshasa illusion and confounded the Pandava senses. Right? Because others, they start to fight, then they start using their illusions, but he just immediately uses the illusions. The assembly listened spellbound as Vidura told the story. Birds and other creatures dropped down everywhere simply from hearing the demon's awful cries. Terrified deer, buffaloes, leopards, and bears fled in all directions. The forest itself seemed to be moving due to all the fleeing creatures. A violent wind blew up and dust clouds swirled. Even as grief is the greatest enemy of the five senses, so that Rakshasa appeared to the five Pandavas. Spying the brothers from a distance, clad in their deerskins and carrying weapons, the Rakshasa obstructed their path like the Mainaka mountain. When Draupadi saw the horrifying creature, she closed her eyes and stood amid her husbands like an agitated river amidst five hills. Domya at once uttered Vedic mantras to counter the demon's illusions, whereupon the wind ceased and the dust settled. Seeing his power checked, the Rakshasa widened his eyes in anger, and he resembled death himself, right? Because he's doing all this because he thinks it'll be easy. Other ones, then they come in and think that they're humans, what can they do? He's putting the illusion first just to make it easier. But then when it's checked by the Brahmin, then now he becomes more angry. Yudhishthira addressed him sternly, "Who are you? What do you want of us?" The Rakshasa replied, "I am Kirmira, the brother of Baka. I live comfortably in this uninhabited forest. I eat all men foolish enough to come here. Who are you that have come today to become my food?" "We are the five sons of Pandu," Yudhishthira answered. "We have been exiled from our kingdom and desire to spend our time in this forest, which is your dominion." Right? So he's acknowledged, okay, this is his forest, but we want to stay here in your forest. When their identity was disclosed, you know, so even he's respectful. He's not just saying, "Hey, who are you?" Because the Rakshasa's there is uninhabited. He's staying there. It's his area. So then they're saying, "Okay, it's your area. We've been exiled from a kingdom. We're staying in the forest. We'd like to stay here in your forest." When their identity was disclosed, the Rakshasa, bellowing in joy, "Ha, what good luck. Fate has today fulfilled my long-cherished desire. I have wandered around in the hope of finding Bhima, my brother's killer. Now he stands here before me at the dead of night, when my power is greatest and when I am hungry." Right? So you put all that together. So they're more powerful like that. You know, he has his revenge that is there, and he's very hungry. "Disguised as a Brahmin, this wretch slew my brother and stole his sister. I shall now wreak my vengeance upon him. I will kill him and offer his blood to Baka's departed soul," right? His own idea of Tarpana. "In this way, I shall be freed of my debt to my brother. I shall devour Bhima, digesting him even as Agastya digested the Asura." Vatapi means like immediately. Yudhishthira rebuked the Rakshasa. "This can never be." The mighty Bhima at once tore up a huge tree and stripped it of its branches. Right? Because if it has branches, when you swing it, it'll move slowly. So first you root up the tree and take off all the small branches. You know, you break off the branches. So you just have the trunk and the main things. While in the twinkle of an eye, Arjuna struck his bow and stood with an arrow at the ready. Bhima checked his brother and advanced alone to face the demon, right? Because, you know, this is his fun. Otherwise, Bhima is very disturbed being in the forest, so at least he should have a little fun. Tightening his waist cloth, he shouted an angry challenge, "Stay and fight, wretched one." Armed with his tree, he rushed towards him. As Indra hurls his thunderbolt, Bhima brought down the tree with force upon the Rakshasa's head. The tree smashed to pieces, but the demon remained unmoved. Right, so he's very powerful, and that you can imagine how strong you have to be to pick up a full-grown tree, and then be able to swing that like a club. Right, so that's Bhima. The tree smashed to pieces, but the demon remained unmoved. He hurled his flaming brand at Bhima, and it flew towards him like a streak of lightning. Bhima dropped quickly to the ground and turned the torch away with his left foot. Roaring terribly, the Rakshasa himself tore up a great tree and rushed at Bhima like Yamaraj bearing his death-dealing staff. The two combatants pulled up tree after tree and hurled and smashed them together as they fought. The battle resembled the fight of old between Vali and Sugriva. Soon a large area of the forest had been stripped of trees, right? Because they just keep pulling up trees. Because this is a forest uninhabited, that means these trees are big, they're old. So they're pulling them up, fighting with each other, and then there's this big area with no trees. The angry demon then lifted and hurled a massive rock at Bhima, who caught the boulder and tossed it back. Kamira rushed at Bhima with outstretched arms, even as Rahu goes to devour the sun. They grappled together, rolling about on the earth like a couple of infuriated bulls locked in mortal combat. The fight was fierce and hard, lasting for almost an hour. Bhima, proud of his streak, was conscious of Draupadi watching him. Then he remembered Duryodhana's insults towards the princess. Looking at the demon as if he were the Kaurava, Bhima's anger swelled. He seized the Rakshasa like one maddened elephant seizing another. Kamira also seized the Pandava, but Bhima lifted him and threw him down violently. He then took hold of the demon by the waist and began to shake him as trees are shaken by the wind. As he was being shaken, the demon reached up and with all his strength grasped hold of Bhima by the neck. Bhima repeatedly lifted and smashed the demon's down, Rakshasa down, even as the demon gripped him with hands like steel vices. Right, so he threw him down, and by the waist he's picking him up, and then just throwing him like that, even though he's holding onto him. The earth shook, and the forest echoed with the sound of Kirmira's body striking the ground. He roared fearfully like a discordant trumpet. Bhima lifted him and whirled him around with tremendous power. Seeing that the Rakshasa had fallen unconscious, Bhima threw him to the ground. He placed his knees on his chest and strangled him. As the demon died, Bhima said, "O sinful wretch, you need no longer wipe away the tears of Bhaka and Hidimba's relatives, for now you will be joining those dead demons." Leaving Kimura's body lying on the path, devoid of clothes and ornaments, Bhima rejoined his brothers. Right, because in the fighting, you know, just all the ornaments fly, everything flies off. They gathered around him and praised him. Again, placing Draupadi in the center of their party, they entered deeper into the forest. The assembly was amazed to hear the story. Vidura concluded, "This is what I heard from Yudhishthir. When I was passing through the forest, I saw for myself the Rakshasa's body after being smashed by Bhima's blows." Dhritarashtra sighed and said nothing. Yeah, so he's just going, oh, you know, because his son, is he that strong? He was becoming increasingly anxious. Bhima had promised to kill all his sons, right? Originally, he would have just killed Duryodhana, like that. But because they kept harassing, because they couldn't just leave it alone. When they're in a weakened position, they immediately take advantage. Like that. When they're in a stronger position, oh, they're lamenting, oh, what are we going to do, our enemies, like that. And as soon as they have the advantage, instead of just being happy that, okay, now we have the advantage, no, they have to pinch, poke, and like that, until they get Bhima to curse them. Now he said he's going to kill all 100 sons. And we see here is that he told the story that when he saw Draupadi, then he thought of Duryodhana. That's when he killed the demon. Otherwise, they were fighting for an hour, you know, basically equally matched. But when he thought of him, then what's going to happen? So when you go into battle with Duryodhana, he's going to be thinking Duryodhana. Who or what could ever prevent him from fulfilling his promise? The king's heart burned as he slowly made his way to his chambers. Chapter 24, Yudhishthir's Moral Instructions. When Krishna heard the news that the Pandavas had been exiled, he decided to go and see them in the forest. He invited Balaram, Dhrishtadyumna, Shikhandi, and many other kings to accompany him, along with Subhadra and her son. And together they rode to the Kamyaka forest. Seeing Yudhishthir and his brothers dressed in deerskins and stripped of their kingdom, both Balaram and Krishna were enraged. Krishna said, "I cannot tolerate this injustice. The earth shall drink the blood of Duryodhana, Karna, Shakuni, and that fourth one, Dushasana." Right? He's just the fourth one, so he's creating trouble, but he doesn't deserve the mention of the other ones. "After we kill him and their followers, we shall install Dharmaraj on the throne. Those cunning men deserve to be slain. This is quite in accord with the eternal morality." Because when you have somebody who's just so bad and can't follow anything, and even he says, "This is the way I am. I'm acting this way, so what's the problem if I act this way?" So then for something like that, then because they're Kshatriyas, then they would naturally go to battle. And then in the battle, they would defeat them. So the point is, the kingdom is supposed to be run by someone who is caring for the welfare of the people. And we see is that if you really cared, Yudhishthir is doing a very good job in that way. The people really have that affection. They feel protected and all that. They were all ready to leave the kingdom and go with him to the forest when he left. So that means that he's doing a very good job. So why would you take the kingdom away? So Duryodhana is only doing it out of his envy and jealousy. And there's no, you know, envy and jealousy don't really have any value. They're you know, your lowest qualities. They're the beginning of all other evils. So therefore, he's there because he wants to be there, not because it's his duty as a Kshatriya to, you know, administrate and protect the populace. So he's not qualified. So therefore, then even there, again. Krishna's anger blazed. He seemed about to consume the entire creation. Arjuna quickly sought to pacify him by recollecting his many wonderful deeds. O Krishna, the great Rishi Vyasadeva has told me that you are the cause of creation, the mover of all minds, and the beginning and end of all things. All asceticism rests in you, who are the embodiment of all sacrifice, and the eternal supreme person. All the gods depend upon you, and you are the origin of the universal creator, Brahma. O mighty arms Keshava, you have appeared many times on earth in different incarnations. Accepting Krishna as the cause of even the almighty Vishnu, Arjuna described the various Vishnu avatars would appear in past ages, right? Because Krishna is the original, and then from him come all the different avatars. O Krishna, as Narasimha, you slew the mighty Asura Hiranyakashipu. As soul of all beings covering the heavens, you dwell in the body of the sun and imbue him with your own effulgence, right? So the sun has this unlimited effulgence that it has because it's coming from Krishna's effulgence. So that's why the sun doesn't go out. This idea that they have that the sun will just, you know, run out of energy at some point. No, at the end of the universe, when it's Brahma's life, then the whole thing will be brought back into Mahavishnu. All the energies will go back. But it's not that it's going to run out at some time. What they're seeing in the heavens, they see planets, stars go out. Those aren't the same as our sun. Those are just the heavenly denizens and all that because of their pious qualities. Those those qualities they have, they glow, just as Krishna, because of his qualities, you have the Brahmajyoti, and the sun is just a fraction of that potency. And so then they shine, but they're only there for a certain amount of time. They're there for millions of years, or depending on who they are, they might even be billions. Depends on how much piety and what planetary system and all that. And so then when that runs out, then they leave. And so then it disappears. And so that's what's happening. Because from here, we see stars. But if you go up there, you see people going around in their airplanes and all that. We haven't had Arjuna. No, Arjuna hasn't gone to the heavenly planets yet. So when he goes, then this will all be explained very nicely. As Aditi's son, Vamana, you span the entire universe with three steps. O soul of all beings, covering the heavens, you dwell in the body of the sun and imbue him with your own effulgence. Arjuna went on to describe Krishna's activities in the present appearance. You have killed numerous demoniac kings who were fierce enemies of even the gods. O Janarda, you have manifested here on the earth the sacred and eternal city of Dwarka, which abounds in opulence and is always crowded with rishis. Envy, untruth, malice, and cruelty are absent in you, who are always the well-wishing friend of all creatures, because every living entity has come from Krishna. And so Krishna's idea is that they will all come to their perfect platform and go back to the spiritual world, and then they'll have their, and you know, act in their position and their natural relationship with the Lord. So it's only for the pastimes, because these things, we hear the battle, hear that, we become inspired on, you know, how we should behave nicely, do things righteously and everything like that. And everybody likes a good story, you know, a good romantic story, a good chivalrous story, or if you have the combination like Arjuna, you have both of these things. So, you know, that just is inspiring that we'll behave nicely, we'll do better, we'll do things like this. So he comes because they're demoniac. They're you know, in the cycle of samsara, they've gone up, now they're coming, you know, down into the worst mentalities. And so then he comes, and then, you know, in battling with them, then makes wonderful ways that you can remember him and remember his pastime. And at the same time as by them being killed by him, they'll get purified, because Krishna is the supreme pure. So when the demon is cured by Krishna, they get liberation. They're completely freed of all the mundane aspects. And so then, in this way, it makes for that individual gets purified, and it makes for a better environment, because there's less people making trouble. And so then people can therefore be engaged nicely in, let's say, yeah, in their particular duties. Like that. Yeah. Time is up? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.